one thing that we get to do that no other creature on the planet can do is that we get to add value by creating things.
And I went from $40 million in revenue to watching everything that I had built for God get sold.
Good morning. Has it been a long night?
You've got to make sure that your identity is solidly rooted in who you are in Christ and not in having money.
I sold my company and I really had a hard time getting out of bed.
Maybe been a long year, maybe been a hard life, maybe you're not all right.
Faith-driven entrepreneurs to do what they want to do have to understand what God has given them.
There's winners and learners, not winners and losers.
I feel like I was chosen to be on this show for a reason and I had to do something.
Like, we are addicted to comfort. And he's called me into really difficult positions. That's what he's told me to walk into.
People like you, people like me. This is where we all find grace. Come on now.
Entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. This podcast and the whole ministry seeks to equip you, the faith-driven entrepreneur, to seize the unique opportunities that God has placed in front of you and overcome the challenges that life will throw your way. These are the stories of how he takes broken things and makes them new. Come for the podcast, stay for the community. Welcome to Faith Driven Entrepreneur.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast. Today we're going to dive deep into a company in Cincinnati, Ohio. The name of the company is Jancoa. It's a janitorial service company that had a people problem, a 400% turnover people problem. The operative word here, though, is had, because when owners Tony and Mary Miller started really listening to their employees and learning about their lives, they dramatically changed the way they managed their people. You see, knowing what really matters to employees and then partnering with them to help them realize their dreams changes everything. Mary Miller joins us today on the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast to share her experiences and provide insight when it comes to retention and turnover. If you're looking to solve a people problem, then this episode is for you. Let's listen in.
Welcome to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast again. We are on the road, so to speak, and we're going to one of my favorite cities in America, Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati. I hadn't been to Cincinnati at all growing up. I went, probably wasn't until my early 30s that I first went to Cincinnati, and I live just outside of San Francisco now, and Cincinnati is the town that reminds me maybe the most of San Francisco, the history, and it's the hills, but there's some things that Cincinnati does better than San Francisco, and I'm a big San Francisco fan, but I'm a better and bigger barbecue fan and ice cream fan. And we had a guy, our president at Bandwidth for a long time, was from Cincinnati and even lived out of Cincinnati for a little while he was working at Bandwidth. And he would come over to the house and bring Montgomery Street ribs. And they
Montgomery
were really, really
and good. Another wonderful family business.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And then how about Grater's?
Grater's ice cream.
Yep. So Grater's also good. But then when we went and when we moved from North Carolina to California about 6.5 years ago, we went on a family road trip. Actually, Kimberly flew out with a cat, but it was the three boys and I, and we decided to hit as many barbecue joints as we possibly could on our ride across country. And I thought we'd go to Montgomery Street, but another barbecue place, Eli's, got better reviews.
I was just going to ask you if you went to Eli's.
So good. It's unbelievable. It's just meat and sauce, but there's something
different.
It was really good, right on the banks of the Ohio River. And then last thing, if you're sick of my geography and my kind of map quest overview of Cincinnati, this will end in a second. But there's one other thing I need to mention is that one of my favorite experiences was as an endurance cyclist. There's a bike race out there. It's about 120 miles called Godzilla that goes up and down the banks of the Ohio River. And the steepness of those hills is unbelievable. I had thought that Ohio was this, you know, flat. It most assuredly is not. But we're not
Flying
talking any.
Pig is one of the most popular marathons now in the country, and it's in Cincinnati, and the hills are killers.
I bet they are. I bet they are. Does the Flying Pig have anything to do with Eli's? Does it have anything to do with barbecue? Why is it called the Flying Pig?
Pig's a big part of our history, our German history with the pigs. And we used to have a lot of pigs that around Cincinnati. So we've been called Porkopolis.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you may have guessed that we have a guest on our show, and it's Mary Miller. Mary, typically we don't give this overview of where our guest hails from, but we are today. Thank you very much for your story. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely a pleasure.
So in the overview, in the intro that you've heard from Rusty, we have a little bit of an overview of an idea, of course, of what GENCOA is. But before we get into the incredible work that God has done through you there, we like to start off every podcast with a bit of an autobiographical flyover of the person we're interviewing, and just help us to understand what your background was like before GENCOA.
Okay.
Why is that funny?
Because it's just, I'm clear every day. You know, it's easy reading the Bible when you read about David and Moses and everything, how God uses people that are weak and not have it all together. Tony and I both, we've just been celebrated our 30th anniversary. He started GENCOA when he was 20. And I came along 27 years ago, and together we took this mom and pop, should have registered as a nonprofit because we were never making money. Our team members were working payday to payday, and we were working payroll to payroll, literally, and turn it into this amazing company that's helping people go after their dreams and use their gifts to be able to make life better for themselves and their family. And we've been very involved in our community in so many ways that is, I would never have predicted, you know, half a lifetime ago, Henry, I had the worst year of my life. It started out with the bankruptcy, followed by my second divorce, followed by unemployment. And then I got an eviction notice on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
So I'm a single mom with three kids and not sure what to do next. And I just have always been a faithful person. I've always believed. I grew up in church and I just poured my heart out to God. Show me what to do. I don't know. I finally realized other people didn't have the answers for me. I wasn't reaching out to him to show me the path. I was believing others knew better than I knew of how I should live my life and the choices I should make. And so I decided to change that. The first thing I did, I needed a job, right? And I got a job. And I remember still calling my parents and letting them know that I got a job. And they were excited. And they said, where? They were expecting, you know, Cincinnati, P&G, GE. You know, we've got these huge companies and home headquarters in Cincinnati, Kroger's. No, I'm in sales. And I sold mobile homes. 100% commission.
Wow.
No stability, no knowledge, no experience. But God used that job and that opportunity and my willing to trust in Him to lead me to more possibilities. I made more money during that first year than I had ever made in my life because I wasn't getting consistent support from ex-husbands. And I had these three kids and the four of us liked to eat and we needed clothes, right? So that's, we were in survival mode. And during that process, I met Tony, not realizing he would be husband number three. And I was in this sales job. He had this cleaning company and we were always working. And we got together. We got married in 91 with this blended family and decided in 93, it was time for me to quit that sales job and put all my time and energy in this family business. And I, neither one of us knew what we were doing, Henry. I mean, we just didn't know what we didn't know, but we just kept moving forward and we had strong faith. We, you know, going to church and praying was a big part of our lives. And we just kept moving forward and we hired this consultant to help us to make GENCOA something more than a survival company, more than just this mom and pop on the corner. We had 65 part-time employees back then, but we knew it needed to be more. because we knew one day we weren't getting any younger. Tony had just hit his 40s. I was in my mid 30s and the kids were growing up and one day they'd be wanting college. So we knew we needed to do something different. And what could we do with this business to make it more successful? So I dove in. I'm a fact finder. I start checking into our industry and conferences and found a consultant that was going to help fix everything.
And Rusty mentioned this in the introduction, that there is a people problem. We're all familiar. All of us have an entrepreneurial or business owner type of background or have aspirations to it. It's what the podcast is about. And so we understand the challenges of turnover, but you had 400% turnover,
which is average for our industry. So I thought we were in a good spot because we were average with other cleaning companies, but I've never been one to want to be average. Yeah. I've always wanted to, you know, be better than average or be in the top. Haven't made it many times, but I always wanted to be better. So that's when this consultant fired us.
The consultant fired you?
Yeah, we hired him to make us better and he fired us. Second day of a 5-day contract.
Did he say it was a lost cause? What was that about?
He said that he could not do anything to help us with processes or efficiencies because we didn't have enough people. And if we don't fix our people problem, not that our people that we had were a problem, we just didn't have enough people. So the first night of this contract was him and Tony going out and checking a couple of the buildings that we were going to focus on first to create some processes and systems and make them more profitable or make them profitable, period. And they ended up vacuuming all night because we didn't have enough people to get the work done that needed to be done. He said he was probably the most expensive vacuumer that we would ever have work for us. And I said, I hope so. So he left us, flew back home the second day, and we had to figure out what were we going to do next. And, you know, failure wasn't an option. We had a blended family of 5 kids. We had team members that depended on us. Yeah. We needed to figure out how to make this happen. And we changed the questions. We changed our prayers and we changed our focus. And our focus was, there used to be a book called The Yellow Pages, you may be familiar with.
Yeah. I know that I look really, really, really young.
Yeah. But I'm not. That book listed every janitorial company in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So Tony actually went through and counted them. He said, okay, there's 104 cleaning companies. Why would people want to work for us? Of all the companies out there, why choose us? We had to look at our whys. We had to change our why. What could we do to attract people to want to work for Jancoa? Mm-hmm. And we spent that weekend after the consultant left, because we didn't have as much work on the weekends back then. And we really dove into a bunch of books that we could find. There used to be more than one bookstore in the city. And we just dove into it, how to find people, how to keep people, you know, all kinds of things about HR and people. And one of the things we said, okay, let's look at our top 10 employees. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common? So that maybe that'll help us find where to look for the rest. And what the number one thing they had in common was the transportation issues. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So the top 10 had the transportation solved. The other ones didn't.
No. They had the top 10 that we depended on the most had troubles with getting back and forth to work. They didn't have dependable transportation. Our night managers were spending their time driving people around from building to building and back home to be able to get the work done. So we thought, well, if we could fix the transportation issues, maybe we can attract more people like them and get the work done. So Monday morning, we went out and bought the 15-passenger van. Yeah. And that was the beginning of our shuttle. We're not a transportation company. It was a nightmare, but we did it for 3 years, tried to make it work. And our shortage, we were 38 full-time people short at that time. Within 3 weeks, we were 15 people short. So it made a dramatic change in being able to get people because nobody else had transportation either. And it's still an issue. It's gotten better in our region with our public transit and stuff. I served on their board for 6 years. So, you know, when I see a problem, I'm trying to find ways to eliminate those obstacles to make things better.
But you found that So I want to go back to, before we go on to some of the other things you've done, I want to camp out on the 15 passenger van here for a second. And part of my, we've got this partnership with Faith and Company. One of the key things we do, Mary, is we've got this FDE group, we call it Faith Driven Entrepreneur Group, where you get together with 12 to 15 other faith-driven entrepreneurs and business owners and go through the marks of a faith-driven entrepreneur through different stories. And it's been a lot of fun. We had, I think, 770 entrepreneurs and business owners like yourself go through it in the cohort that started on September. And we've had a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, people are like, well, what do we do next? And there are a whole bunch of different things to do next. But one of the things we're working on are seasons 2 and 3. And so we've been watching all of these stories to include yours. And it's really neat to hear Tony's story. And so you're able to solve a transportation problem with this van that we hear about in this movie that I think you're going to see featured in season 2 or season 3 of this FDE group.
Season 2.
It should be in season 2. All right, mm-hmm. Good. That's awesome. All right. So there's some advocacy there. But tell us, you know, you found out more about solving a problem. You learned about these people that were working with you, right?
We saw a different side, Henry. We brought the van to the office. Our general manager at the time was like, okay, who's going to drive this magic van, right? The magic bus of Jankoa. And I love the way Tony said in the video, he said, I had the least amount of work to do, so I became the first driver. Mm. Well, within 2 days, he was invisible. Nobody getting on that shuttle thought of him and realized this is the company owner. Yeah. They just saw him as person that was driving them, picking them up from home and taking them to their jobs. But Tony got to see where they lived. He got to hear the conversations of what their day was like and what they were looking forward to and what their obstacles were. And our people are full time. That was an early switch that we did, full time employment with benefits. So they work 6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. So Tony would take him to work by 5:30, so get them by 6 o'clock, and he'd be back home. And then he'd go back out to take him home and get home about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And he's got this really bad rule. If he can't sleep, I can't sleep. So he would wake me up.
That's a bad rule.
It's a bad rule. But we would talk. He would tell me about what he saw, about what he heard. And our hearts broke. Mm. You see, we fell into this trap, Henry, and I don't think we're alone. When we're in business, you think of what you need. It's kind of a spreadsheet mentality. But in our industry, you need mop buckets, microfiber rags, vacuum cleaners, you know, these different tools and people. And people just fall into that category of tools and equipment and chemicals that you need. We were not seeing the humanity. And God brought it to us. In our face, this is who's doing the work for you. This is your product. You're a service company. If you don't take care of the people that are doing the work for you, how is that going to work for your business? How are you ever going to do my work if you don't take care of your people? And all of a sudden, the scales of justice look differently to us, where we were balancing. Our customers never knew we were having issues with people. It was always clean by 6 a.m. before anybody came to work. The buildings were clean. If we had to go out and do it ourselves, it would be done. But now all of a sudden, the scales start changing and we start realizing we had to treat our team members, our interior customers, with as much respect and dignity as we treated our customers that paid us. The ones we were paying and the ones that paid us, we had to treat them with the same respect, help them overcome their obstacles, help them increase their opportunities and find ways to improve the quality of their lives. And as we created these different programs, you know, it had a really catchy tune. The name at first was the Incredible Employee Retention Program.
That's what you called it?
That's what we called it at first, inside. We never said it to anybody. It was horrible. But a friend of ours was like, you know what you guys are doing is you're helping people achieve their dreams and pursue their dreams.
Tell us more. What does that mean a little bit more? So you've gotten to know, and just to fast forward a bit, you've got 600 employees now. So you've had exposure to lots of stores.
Pre-COVID, we were up to 650.
Oh, were you really?
So okay. Yeah, we were. Yeah. And now we're just hovering around 500.
Okay.
Because, so there's not as many people in buildings. Some buildings are still closed. Yeah. So a lot of stuff that we couldn't do anything about.
Yeah. But that's a lot of stories, though. And when you talk about helping some of these employees live their dreams. Are there any stories that come to mind? Just, you know, I think that you're going to find that we're going to release a video together in partnership with Faith and Company shortly. And in the video, of course, we meet some of these employees, but paint a picture, if you will, of some of the characters. Who are some of these people? Who are the people that go to work from 6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.? What are they dealing with in their lives? What have you learned?
It's really across the board. It's like everything else in life. You walk down the street, you don't know what's going on in people's lives when you meet them. There's Sue and Curtis. If you go to YouTube and type in Jan Koa, a video comes up that Compassion International did years ago. And they talk about their home. We help many families buy homes, most of which were first generation homeowners. Because as Sue said in the video, she didn't think she was the type of person that could own a home. We changed the way they looked at possibilities. We had a young man from Africa come in and wanting to get his driver's license. And after our original dream engineer took him out to try to teach him, he said, no, we need to find a professional to help. You know, we realized we can't help make their dreams happen, but we can connect them to programs that exist to help make them happen. But he comes in one day and he asked for me and he wanted me to see his driver's license that he just achieved. And he wanted a picture with us to send home to his family that still lived in Africa to let him know that he achieved his driver's license in the US, which was very going cool. to help him get a better paying job because of not having to stick to a bus line.
Now, you said something in there that I think somebody might miss. Dream engineer. What's a dream engineer?
A dream engineer is somebody that helps people engineer their dreams, not just dream them and think of them, but be able to put them together and make them a reality. See, nothing gets built, not a roller coaster, not a building, without an engineer being involved in the design and the creation of it. And that's what people need. They need an engineer to help do it, and then they can find a way to make it real.
And you have dream engineers at Jan Koa?
Yeah.
That's their job.
That was their job. It's evolved since then. Since when you have 65 employees, you can do things very differently than when you have 500. Yeah. So now what's done, Henry, is everything in life evolves. Nothing can stay the same, right? So it's evolved into a culture of caring, of changing the conversations at every level. And so we really work at it from Tony and I to the leadership, to the directors, to the managers, to the supervisors, where we're always doing things to encourage people to improve their quality of life and what do you need to help move forward. And that's really our biggest obstacle right now isn't so much, well, COVID is an obstacle because there's always these changing, we're master pivoteers these days, but how do we evolve from helping people focus on their dreams of the future? How does that adapt into what the current needs are? Because the needs today are different than what they were 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. So there's a lot more people that are in the today. It's hard to dream about a future when you have so much uncertainty in today.
Tell me about how your faith and Tony's faith, which comes across really clearly in the video. And then you talked about, you know, at the outset of you guys starting to work together, that was a big part as getting you through the tough times. How do your employees experience that, or do they?
We do talk openly about our faith, but we do it in a way where we feel we're respectful of other people's faith practices. Uh-huh. We have a few hundred people that are from Nepal and Bhutan. And so their faith practices is different than our Christian faith. So we support them on their high holy days when they take off work. You know, we take off Easter, Christmas, those holidays. They don't practice those, but they do have their own holidays. So they take those days off and everybody pitches in to help cover the jobs that need to be done so they can celebrate. So we really try to do in a very respectful way that faith is important. And if we do it in that manner, I believe when people see how we live our life, it makes them curious. It's like, I love to speak. I speak all over the world. And I always find a way to weave my faith in the conversation. And the people that are believers will thank me for it, and the seekers will ask me more and want to do it. So I think that faith doesn't have to be something that you have to be afraid of. It's just done in a respectful way that people have a choice of how they practice their faith and who they believe and what they believe in. But if we live the life as we're supposed to live, more people will want to know about that and will want to follow that too.
Indeed, indeed. Some number of our listeners have employees that are entry level. So have entry level and are an opportunity to be able to have maybe refugees and recent immigrants from Nepal and Bhutan among their ranks. You didn't stop at the shuttle or at the Dream Engineer. There are other initiatives that you put in place too over 30 years that have been a big part of your culture. Share some of those different initiatives that you've done, because maybe a listener from here is like, you know what, I could do that.
Well, it all starts with orientation. Yeah. We talk about what are their dreams. We ask them, what is it they're working toward? Because we want them to be more than just this is a paycheck and living paycheck to paycheck. What is it that you need or want to have happen? A lot of our Nepalis are homeowners already. They really found a way to fit into the culture and make those things happen. But we really did so much. So we've had health insurance available for employees, affordable and real health insurance since the 90s, because it's the right thing to do, to help people, to help them improve their quality of life and not have to worry about that. But to invest in their future, we created a 401k available just 3 years ago for all of our employees. And we don't have a huge percentage participating, but in 3 years, we've already got over $1 million invested in that program. And JANCOA matches up to 4%. Mm-hmm. So we're very involved in helping them improve their quality of life.
So there's some other things, though, that you also do to participate with your employee. I'm thinking it's a little bit of a leading question, but talk to you about some of the other initiatives you do, like your monthly employee dinner.
And well, just how the employee you advance, dinner, and we've had to make some adjustments on that, too.
I bet you have.
Yeah, with COVID, we can't have everybody in the same space. So we've had to break it down. And it's so crazy how God works. We moved into a new office 6 months before COVID hit. And in this new space, the way it's designed, we have human resources in an area and administration and operations on the other side. In between the two, we have a nice big training area where everybody gets orientation and we have ongoing trainings throughout the year as people need to learn more and new and different things. But we have this huge meeting room that we call our family room. And the family room is set up so that everybody can meet in there. But we haven't been able to have all 50 people together since we've been here because of COVID. And so we have to break it down in smaller groups, but we're still meeting in the smaller groups every month. And that's a time to have education and promptings of what's going on, to celebrate the things that are going well in people's life, and to be able to have a meal together, because that's when you get to know people. Yeah. So even the people in the office staff are encouraged not to eat in their office. And the kitchen area is a prep area. And everybody's encouraged to come into the family room to have lunch so we can get to know each other better and create a community and connection.
Tell us about what you are hearing from God recently. We'd like to close out. And I have an offer that I'm going to make to you here at the end, right after you answer this question. But tell us what you're hearing from God. And maybe it's not necessarily in something you read in the Bible this morning, but maybe it's this week or something recently. We believe that the Bible is alive and God speaks to us through it. And we are just really, really blessed whenever we talk to a business owner and they say, you know what, this is what I think God has been teaching me through his word recently. What would that be for you?
I've got to share with you, Henry, about 4 years ago, I was invited to speak at our big church here in Cincinnati's Crossroads.
Yeah.
And we've been going there, and I got to speak at Unpolished in 2017. And I was invited to be part of a huddle group with Kathy Beecham, who ran operations for Crossroads back then. She was incredible, incredible spiritual mentor for me and many, many others in our community. And she had been executive vice president at U.S. Bank. She was very involved in YWCA. I mean, she was just an amazing person. And in January of 2018, she said to me, "When are you going to stop believing other people have the answers, when all you have to do is listen to the whispers from God?" And she challenged me to spend time in the morning before I exercise in the book and to study scripture and listen to what God's saying to me. And I've been doing that 90% of the time every morning. And Kathy passed away 2 months later from lung cancer. She had just been diagnosed. And what I can tell you is the thread, especially during this year, my word is embrace. And every morning as I read the scripture, God whispers, embrace my faithfulness, embrace my grace. And he's totally encouraging me every day to stay on track, that there's better coming still. And that this is just a moment to strengthen us, to help us catch our breath, because we're going to be quite busy in the future. And I don't know what that all means, but I just know more than ever. And my leadership team is my daughter, son-in-law, and brother-in-law, and their faith is super strong as well. So, you know, it's a really important piece, and I know that God's in the middle of it.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, here's the offer. When you get a chance to get everybody back together again, as all the COVID protocols are gone, and you call up Justin, our executive producer, who's listening to this right now, and you say, I'm taking you up on your offer, which is that we want to buy Grater's ice cream for everybody. You bring 500 of them together, we will make that happen. It'd be awesome to celebrate that. You do such a great job of loving on people that need love and helping them achieve their dreams in home ownership and college and driver's licenses. And my love language is ice cream. And that's just a little way that we can say, gosh, you know, you're doing an awesome job. It would be neat to be a small part of that. So remember that as soon as you can do it.
I will. And I will share this podcast when it's released with Rich Grater, who's a friend of mine.
Oh, good. Oh, that's awesome. That's really
absolutely. We're kindred spirits. It was his grandfather's third wife that turned the business, the ice cream, from a hobby to a business. And I'm Tony's third wife. And he always credits me for the growth of Chicken Koa.
Oh, that's great. Well, that is, it's so good. So my family has been in the dairy business. My E.A. Kastner, and I've got actually on my wall that I'm looking at right now, we've got a patent on the milk can. So we'd been in the dairy business for 150 years, German family, talking about the Germans in Cincinnati. And ice cream was, you know, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was some amount of, not bartering, but yeah, you'd get paid in dairy products with, you know, you'd drop off milk cans.
In Cincinnati, it was with pigs. That's why the pork.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, so in Baltimore, it was ice cream. And so ice cream's a big deal. But I got in an argument with this guy I was talking about that worked for us in Cincinnati. And I said, you know, the best ice cream is the Halo Dairy in Lawrenceville, and maybe even better, you know, another great vanilla, of course, is Häagen-Dazs. He said, no. The best ice cream in the world is Grater's. I'm like, no, I've never even heard of it. And he sent me a 6-pack in dry ice, and I've never been so happy to be so wrong. It was awesome. And so I've been a Grater's fan ever since. This was not meant to be a Grater's advertisement, but it became one. Mary, God bless you for all the work that you've done. Thank you for spending the time to share with our audience. And
thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity very much.
Great being with you. We'll put the video in the show notes, and I look forward to an opportunity to share the story with many more people.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
We are grateful for the opportunity to serve the community and see listeners come in from more than 100 countries. Entrepreneurship is often a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. The best way to stay connected is to join a group study with other faith-driven entrepreneurs like yourself. There's no cost, no catch. In person or online, you can meet for an hour a week with your peers from your backyard or the other side of the world. You can also stay connected by signing up for our monthly newsletter at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of many of our friends. Executive producer Justin Foreman, intro mixed and arranged by Summer Dregs, audio and editing by Richard Barley. Our theme song is In the House by David Crowder.